Hello everyone, this is Adam from the Back Patio Network. You may be familiar with me from the New Path podcast. Enjoy this episode of Rollmongers!
And for radio...
Romeo has the day. Now... First, he was beat red and frustrated, demanding satisfaction, stripped off his magnificent cloak, took up a wooden sword, and wanted just to beat the crap out of you. Flushed with his satisfaction of whacking you once, twice, unsure and a little bit demoralized, watching you stagger about, he decides to take the high road. And instead of getting his satisfaction, he turns to the princess and once more tries to salvage what he really wants, his case. What's interesting, though, is he is so flabbergasted at this point, his Taldan accent slips back into his Varisian accent that he picked up so many years ago. Your Grace, I would never speak against a man who is so dearly related to yourself, but surely one cannot put faith into every rumor spoken at court, he says, sort of shrugging at Varth, implying if, you know, the man can't even hold his feet, then perhaps he spoke ill. Now, besides what the princess may think, half of the crowd does kind of start reconsidering type of thing. Bartholomew, waiting to see if your words have an effect. Yes, they do. Varth takes the moment of reprise that he is given, collects his senses. You're certain because of your brave words and intimidation tactics. And once again, it is Varth's turn. The round is cleared on Romeo's as he turns his attention briefly to the princess, Lord Varth. What, dude? And you better make it good.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place. I mean, I'm clearly outclassed by Romeo, whatever he is. I mean, he's got more hit points than me. His armor class is higher than I am.
His AC is 15. His hit points were 23 and stand at 19.
I can't win this fight. I've got four hit points left.
I'm surprised that they put anybody up against him.
Can I aid him?
Sure.
I have this really shiny... pitcher and tray right here. Is there any way I could like reflect the light into Romeo's
eye? Of course. Yeah.
No stranger to the cheating ways of the arena.
Yeah.
Winston does what Winston does best.
Puts himself into a position where he can maybe reflect some light into Romeo's Acasti's eyes when he strikes.
Yes. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Sure. Is there a role you would like for that?
I will.
I would like to conceal the action. I'm not going to be like,
Yeah. I'll have you make an attack. I'll have you make a ranged touch attack, like you were shooting a beam, and I'll have you make a bluff check to conceal it. Okay. Coming up shortly on your turn, which will come around and foil Romeo's next attack next round, which comes after you. So getting back to Varth, you're going to honorably take your lumps, sir?
I will honorably take my lumps.
Get in there.
All right. So... step forward and swing at him, you know, and tell him not to try to distract from the fact that he's a scumbag.
Lord Varth, you're still a scumbag. Come on, let's have it in Varth's words.
Okay, so I'll step forward and swing my wooden sword at him, saying, even if this victory is won by you, you will not reclaim the honor you so foolishly spent trying to earn it back. Does a 20 hit?
Yes, and I believe that's a critical threat again.
That is a critical threat again. Once again, dicked by roll 20.
Oh, no. No.
4 5 points.
All right.
Solid hit.
Solid hit.
Uh-huh.
I mean, for what it's worth, no one really suggests a longsword for a crit build.
No, it's not the best crit builder.
I don't know. He's getting lots of crits.
Threats.
Yeah, threats. He's getting lots of threats. He just can't follow through.
Yeah, if roll 20 didn't suck so bad.
Pulling on the collar.
This fight would be not as ugly. Anyway, how about you?
Winston.
Yes.
Your companion is losing.
Wow.
It's obvious. You don't need to have tactics your time in the arena. You know when a man is faking and staggering and oohing and aahing in a wrestling style when the guy's actually getting, you know, saying things to keep his own guile up and going as opposed to honestly try to get the other guy.
While having spent time at the arena, Winston's picked up a trick here and there that can, you know, help sway the odds.
Oh, go on.
In another direction. Using the shiny pitcher and platter that I have in my hands right now, going to see if I can reflect the torchlight into Alcasti's eyes to distract him or you know, help make him throw his next attack.
Okay.
So what would you like for me for that?
Give us a ranged touch attack.
Okay. It's like and I would like to conceal my actions. I don't.
Yep, and a bluff coming up. Let's start with the... Well, yeah, let's start with the bluff. Let's start with the bluff roll. Now, lucky. Okay, I'll even give you a plus four bonus because the crowd is very, very distracted. Like, they are focused on this fight.
It wasn't a nice roll of four plus my natural charisma bonus of one for a five. But if you give me plus four, it's a nine.
Okay. So you hit the mark, you get on him. But he's moving around too much to, like, get it into his eyes to, you know, get the effect you want. But you can definitely see the reflection point, you know. I mean, it's too bad the princess likes dogs. If she had cats, they'd be climbing right up him right now, just chasing little, you know.
Little red dot.
Yeah.
Had to try.
Yeah.
Had to try.
You can try again. There's always next round. One of us will still be here. All right. Leon, Winston, Fafal, you guys doing good. You don't have to worry being shipped off to the desert so far. And yet...
Now he's interested, yeah.
What? I mean, that kind of, like, 7 years ago, you know, and then... Actually, sorry, Jay, what's the current calendar date?
I believe it is 4-5-17. Or 4-5-18. No, 17.
It's got to be 4-7-something.
Sorry, 4-7-18. 4-7-17. Blah. Okay, final answer. 47-17.
Okay. Fafal, what the woman said, the fact that she has documents from the Church of Pharasma with your name on a registry from the year 4714-ish, shall we say, that you were in Wati and registered with an adventuring party. Those were dark years for you, and you remember very little of it because of the curse. Spent time wandering Garundi trying to lift it, and even your travels brought you to Kadira. She offers you perhaps a chance to get your life back, a large chunk of it that you lost. Romeo.
Wait, hold up. I got a question.
Yes?
So I have a racial trait that acts like an ability that I can use once per day.
Yes?
So it's called Breeze Kissed. Normally it gives me a plus two bonus to AC against non-magical range attacks. But once per day, I can channel this wind into a single gust, making a bull rush or trip combat maneuver against one creature within 30 feet.
Okay.
Can I try and trip Alcasti?
Yeah.
Why would you try and trip Alcasti?
Just to buy Varth time.
Yeah.
Not to mention Varth could, like, get plus four because he's prone.
Exactly.
Not my fault you fell over. The question is, bluff check or not? Well, you obviously need a big bluff check to cover it up because the wind would suddenly come, like, through the crowd, you know, that kind of thing. Can you see a way that you could possibly explain said breeze?
Are the doors open?
No, they're not currently.
The fire flickers up, shooting ember. Not embers.
But if someone were to open the doors, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, Fafal is definitely going to walk over to the door and, it's getting a little stuffy in here. Let's let the air in. And pop open both doors while activating this racial ability.
Okay. And what does it take to offer the racial?
It's just a once per day thing, but
Is it a standard action?
Does not say.
No, you know, it's fine. You can open doors as move action, so you're fine. So you walk over, pop the door, big announcement, and whoosh. And look at that. From where you're standing at the doorway, there's a straight line just past the edge of the fire pot. Right to Alcasti and Gildavarth, because you are north of them. And, yep, look at that, 25 feet away.
Oh, wonderful.
Have at you.
All right.
Now aren't you glad I made everyone roll for initiative? We're helping our friend. Funny thing is, though, why would you want to knock over Alcasti?
Because you bet, that's what I was saying. Like, why would you bet on him. Why would you knock him over?
I'll see, don't worry about it.
Okay, have at me. You're about to lose the bet.
16 against his combat maneuver defense.
Against my combat maneuver defense. When I defensively combat maneuver, I do so in style. 15 is my combat maneuver defense.
Booyah.
And
Casty is tripped. Oh, whoop.
And down he goes. Unfortunately, I can't use my turn to finish you off, Lord Varth. What in blazes? The wind gushes in. The fire licks, spraying some, you know, sparks on him or whatever. My clothes! And he flounders backwards, trips in the wind. It looks like... bluff roll?
Yes. Bluff. Let's see. What do I have for bluff? Yeah, that was the chance that the dice rolls hot. If not, roll well. 11.
Okay. I see the breeze come in. And DC, a regular 10, everyone's just looking on Casty. He's overacting at the, you know, the fire whooshing up, flaming because of the fresh oxygen, and some sparks fly his way. He freaks out. Even with the wind that pushes him over, people think that he freaks about the fire moving and falls over himself. Bam. Hits the floor. Hard. Scrabbling. Realizing he's face down on the marble, the man snatches with a move action. His rapier rolls over and gets up. Second move action, and Elcasti is done.
Provokes an attack of opportunity?
Exactly.
By doing what?
By getting up.
Standing up in somebody's threat range.
Ooh, that she does. And by retrieving a weapon in front of you as well. But you only have one, I'm assuming, so.
I only have one.
Okay.
So pick your time. Do you do it while he's getting up or do it while he's retrieving his weapon?
Hit a man with, it hits you while you're down. After
well, remember,
all,
you get the bonus because he's prone.
Yeah. So.
I will take a swipe at him as he reaches for his weapon. Not so much when he stands. 17 to hit.
That hits.
Or 9 points.
Oh.
Oh.
Ow.
The tables are turning.
Oh, you have no idea. He rolls. You whack at his weapon. He takes it. Calls out in pain as his hand grasps the rapier. He does have it, but he takes the hit. Ow! And then rolls over and gets up, glaring at you furiously. But that's my turn. Now it's Bartholomew's turn.
Romeo needs food badly.
My own Romeo Tamagotchi.
There you go. Barth, it's your turn.
I will give him an opportunity to surrender while preparing an attack if he does anything other than drop his weapon. Drop your weapon, Romero. I do not wish to shame you any further. And threaten him.
All right. Let's talk about bardic performance. Let's talk about spellcasting.
Let's talk about you.
Let's talk about how easy I went on you because, you know, poor little you, and those things I could have done, should have done, would have done, but I really liked how that is played out because of what had happened in the earlier roleplay.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm going with what we like to call a script for an NPC, and you've dropped me below an acceptable amount of health.
How do you like fireballs?
Aha. Do you have spellcraft?
I do not.
Oh, dear.
But if he does anything other than drop his weapon, that triggers my prepared action.
Okay.
Which was shove your sword down his throat, right?
Which was shove my sword down his throat. My little wooden sword.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. He's going to get my woody.
Ha-ha. He speaks at you.
Provoke.
And you feel power fill your mind. Take a whack. And then I must make a concentration check.
Hiya! Come on, roll 20. Oh, you son of a bitch, roll 20.
You miss.
I miss.
Willpower save, please.
Spends the chamber, puts the gun to his head. Let's see, what's my will save? Is this an enchantment?
Yep.
Plus 3, then, to the roll.
Why is that?
Because it's 1 for Cavalier. Let me pull up my little things here. Let's see, plus 2 on will saves against enchantment versus the charm and compulsion subschools. Mm-hmm. That's the Noble Scion Stavian benefit.
Cool. Very cool. What'd you get?
15.
Ooh. DC? 14.
Yes.
You feel what feels like a burp becoming a hideous giggle in your throat, and before you suddenly burst out in maddening laughter, you suck it up with the Stavian name, sir. You shall not. No. Exactly. Exactly. But not the hideous outburst he was hoping for to shame you further, sir. You held your turn. I did mine. And now...
Now I go... I should go right before him now.
Yeah, you did. You took your whack, yep. Right?
Yep.
That delays your action to me. So now we are back to you, I believe. Because now your initiative is set right before his.
Right before him, yep. And I will take a swing. Let's see. I'm at +1, not plus... Hiya! Roll 20 has once again successfully defeated me. I got a 6. Or a 7, excuse me.
You got a 7.
Yep.
That is a miss, sir.
It's shameful. I know.
Well, you foiled my chance to make you look like the bad guy once again. However, stealing his jaw, the look on his face, sense motive.
Let's see what my sense motive is. Ooh, it's good. +7?
Mm-hmm.
Got a sense motive of 25.
It is so obvious that this man cannot bear the shame of surrendering in front of such illustrious company. You know he will fight you until you beat him unconscious. And after that last attempt, surrender, and then he pulls some dirty stuff like casting spells at you, it is so obvious now that he has not reconsidered that choice. It is written, quite literally, all over my face. He's actually muttering it, I will not dare to defeat you in such illustrious coming. Anyway, and he comes at you with his rapier sword. 16, play 18, sir.
Hit.
I am no longer under the effects of Shaken, is that true?
No.
And you are currently had 7 points of damage?
I did indeed.
Leaving you with 4?
That is also true.
Windback does 3 points, leaving you with 1.
Oh my gosh. All right. Now it's getting ugly.
So close. I will have my satisfaction. His Varisian accent flaring with his eyes and whacks you solidly, but only does 3 points of damage, dropping you to 1. Varth, it is your turn.
All right.
Doesn't Varth go before him, which would mean it'd be Winston's turn next?
Yeah. So Winston.
Yes.
It is your turn, my good man.
Oh, excellent. So I'm gonna do the tray thing again. Hopefully,
okay. Bluff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, surprise! What if you fail your bluff and he gets caught on cheating? High stakes.
I'm just a drunk little halfling.
Sorry about what happened at court. We almost got it.
Come on, 16. For
yes. Okay.
And what did you say? You said a ranged attack.
Get range touch.
Ooh.
Come on. 7.
No. So
I got a 7 for my ranged.
Okay.
He throws the tray and misses completely.
He just throws the tray at him. Gets frustrated that the light's climbing up his shoulder. He can barely keep it on center mass, let alone, you know, get the headshot and get it in his eyes. Keeps turning around. Keeps turning his head at 90 degrees to check, look everywhere else but you. So close. But at least no one's seeing you do it.
That's the important part.
Yep. Gildervarth.
All right. Little wooden sword in hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Fafal.
Yes. So... After Fafal opens the door and whatnot, and that breeze from outside comes past, he stomps back over to the other side of the fair lady and whispers,
"As long as there is breath within my lungs and blood within my veins, I shall not remember that hell."
Hero point.
Oh, yay.
Hero point for Fafal. We're going to enact the hero point. Is one of the surprises I had. Now, if you go back a couple episodes, I was talking about surprises that are going to be laid out when they come to court. Surprise, surprise, none of the Cavaliers get one. I was anything heroic, you know. The man goes against odds, against his new career, and out of fear, some very good role playing, I'd say that gets you a hero point. Now, we're still deciding whether using first edition hero points or the new second edition hero points, but since I can't literally reach across a virtual table and hand out bottle caps, for those in the know, Aiden.
Yes.
In the chat log, start hero points, put your name down for 1. For Fafal, because it has to be your character, not the player.
Yep. Done.
Lord Varth.
All right. This is the telling blow. So, grasping.
Romeo is down to within a sword's length, as in less than a d8. Of
a sword pointed. Stroke.
Yes.
So, both hands on the blade, I raise it high over my head.
Okay. That'll give you a +1 to damage.
Look up and call out to Saren Rey.
Back on hand, Sir Rey, I will not stand for villains who once again claim the throne or his powers.
Wait, before you roll it, can I use my hero point to give him a plus on his attack?
I don't know. Can you trade hero point? No, I don't think you can trade him across the table.
Hey, give me a sec. Bonus, +8 luck bonus to any, my 1d20. Hero points can spent to aid another character, grant only half the listed bonus. +4 before the roll, +2 after. Not sure if that can... Because it says aid another, I assume it just means on skill checks.
Yeah, but it means to you. It doesn't mean to, like, you hand it across the table to your buddy.
That's not true at all. You can totally aid another on attack. Absolutely you can.
Yes, but I'm saying he can't give it to Frank to spend on his own for, like, the bigger bonus.
No, but he can apply it to give him half of the bonus.
Yeah, I've had you guys aiding him in several different ways, with several, like, bluffs and intimidates, and yeah, so if you want to burn it, just to kind of find it, but okay. So heroically, in a role-playing sense, what is your action to betray this heroic point to Varth?
Cheer him on, man. Cheer him on.
It
does, I'll give you this. It does help that the one guy from Kadira might, you know, hear his praise to Saren Rey and, you know, Kadira stands behind you. The widow is also single now. Return to the land of the... I don't know.
Go, my lord!
You can do it!
That's plus one. That's not a hero point. Come on. Dig deep. Come on, Fafal. Dig deep.
The light of Serenray guides your hand this day, Lord Gildavarth. I support you. Serenray supports you. Have at ye.
Okay.
Well, Jeff, I'm pulling you out of
my... No, that's great. Shouting across the room, you know. The whole room turns and regards the sylph.
What?
Let's talk about Serenray, the religion. Banned for years. Only recently re-legalized. And a small shrine, not a temple, a small shrine has popped up in Opera to show the people the government says, you know, yeah, you can do this. But the populace, it's still sort of a... So, will this bolster Sir Varth? Is this the strength he needs in a room full of people that are very, very, very unlikely to worship, let alone shout the faith across the room to a fellow man? Do you find this solemn act of the one guy, the basketball cart, the guy that can't play on your team, he gets up and just goes, "You can do it, man! I believe in you, God! You can do it!"
Belief starts by one voice crying out.
And another added to it. All right, I'll give it to you. And what is that, plus four?
Yeah, plus four to his next d20.
All right.
All right, let me throw that crazy bonus in. Hiya! It's a crit!
And it's a critical threat with a 24! Sharon
Does he get the bonus on his crit threat?
No, it's to a single roll, not to a single round.
Oh, well, it's still slippery sweet. Good job!
14!
14! When you double up on a weapon, guys, it's just plus one to damage. It's not plus one to hit, is it?
Yeah, it's just bonus damage.
Oh, it's a plus three to attack. Duh, don't you know this, Chef?
No, it's not. You're fired. Get out of my courtroom. You're fired. You're fired. Get out of my courtroom. You're a player now. Stop that.
Who are you, Rudy Giuliani?
The truth is not the truth.
Dig deep.
Don't use anything. Tools.
I will take any small bonus. Anything?
Anything?
He's not demoralized anymore, right?
His AC is 15, man, and you got a 14. Like, all you need is one.
Jump.
Two hands over his head. Did you just climb on a chair? Is that a chair right next to him?
It stands up on a chair. No, that would provoke an attack, and then he would win. He would kill me. All right, I stand on the chair. If I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose big.
You got to have your waist above his head for high ground. Now you just look silly.
I know, right? Okay. All right. Nope. That's it. That's all I can do.
That's all you got? Anything? No.
That's all I got. I'm first level. I'm tiny little first level.
Wait, Jeff. What about the smoke from the fire that was blown by the breeze? Shouldn't the smoke be still billowing?
That's
that?
Right. Okay, so Romeo has 20% concealment. Thank you. Roll percentage, Frank. You're making it worse, man.
Okay.
Frank, roll percentage.
I'm getting there. I gotta find my little dice.
So if you roll 20 or lower, we can forget about the 14 altogether. Just, you know. Thanks.
Just say it's a miss.
Thanks, Fafal. 81. Okay, you're fine. Anyone else want to help, Frank?
Yes, the hot smoke, even though it does
grant
provide
concealment.
Off some.
No, I think he's got to be more than 5 feet away, but that was fun.
Yeah.
You could try doing like a sacred bonus for the idea that he's becoming a...
Oh, no, spoilers. But yeah.
Sorry.
6 points.
A 14 would not regularly hit. Smoke is blowing. He doesn't look at the fire. Varth, you're in his face, eyes locked, and only Varth sees this. Front doors open, windows, a beam of light, innocently crossing the back of the room, striking a polished platter at just the right angle in a lowered, given-up halfling's hand, pops across the room, and a bright flash strikes the man's eyes, and he is momentarily, shall we say,
flat-footed,
blinded,
blind,
dazzled.
No, that's attack rolls. We're looking to drop his AC.
Blinded. Momentary.
Blinded.
Fascinated.
Attacker gets plus two to hit.
Yeah, oh. Blinded. Okay. And he is momentarily blinded, dropping his AC by two.
Turning the fifth.
No, this is great. I love this.
Reaching. No, we're pole vaulting.
Dropping his AC by two. And it is a hit, sir. For how much damage?
That would make it a crit. And he takes 13 points.
13 points of damage, and he is knocked unconscious, falls to the floor. Varth, snapping your head in the direction of the beam of the light, you see Winston holding a tray but he's looking down at it, confused. Oh, no, the beam didn't come through the window. The clever halfling must have bounced light, ambient light coming in, and helped you.
So I...
Or did he?
Did he?
Big flash of light.
Ping. That's awesome.
I love it.
So I'll look at him, you know, as my sword slashes him across the side of the head, and his eyes roll back, and he drops.
I'm beyond your insults. I can no longer hear you. I'm unconscious.
I'll look at him, and then look at the weapon, and kind of drop it disgustingly, like I didn't want to do this in the first place, and then kneel down next to him, make sure he's still alive.
Oh, and visibly give first aid?
Yeah.
Starts giving mouth to mouth. You must live.
You've got to live.
Or just as an excuse to start pounding on his chest.
Death is no escape from shame.
The man, beaten unconscious, is certainly not at death's door. But when you lay hands on him with such concern for a foe, a static shock must be the carpeting. You feel pass from your fingers into the man, and he starts awake and looks up in your face in disgust, turns his head away, says nothing.
I'll pause for a moment to kind of take in what happened. And then as he turns away, I still want to kind of keep my hand on his chest and say, Romero, it's not too late. Earn that which you think is yours, but earn it fairly. And then I'll stand up and offer him my hand.
He swats it away, backs up, climbs up a piece of furniture, grabs his cloak from whoever's holding it, and stomps out of the courtroom. This crowd, not really knowing what to make of this entire clusterfuck. Slowly, one figure, a man in silken robes, Leon, steps forward, initiating a single clap, and then nodding, the nobles, raising a cheer, and ecstatically, ignoring Varth, lifting Leon on their shoulders, the hero obviously.
Vin Mark!
You know. Much adulation, huzzas, Fafal and Bartholomew and everyone trickling in behind Varth to get in the circle and you know, get in on the praise. The Princess Eutropia, smiling at you. Dominicus Rell, stroking his beard but with a bemused look on his face. Lady Merlia just smiles and nods. The princess lets you have your moment and then raises her hand to calm the nobles. Thank you, cousin. That was most... And she slowly looks at Winston and Bartholomew and even kind of cocks her head like she's contemplating something and then shakes it away like, nah, when she looks over at Fafal. Most entertaining. Now, I would like to call forth young Leon Vidmark once more. I have contemplated your testimony, and I will call upon Solomon for his proof. Take some well-earned rest in the parlor, cousin. Rest now. Calling you cousin openly is certainly a sign of favor, Lord Varth. And you and your little troop are sort of, you know, not ushered out, but at your leave can sort of step aside and go through and be pampered a little bit and rest, you know, type of thing. But you're probably not going to want to miss this. Step forward, young Master Vidmark.
Confused, Leon kind of steps hesitantly towards the dais.
I would be remiss to give honors to these gentlemen. It's almost like she says gentlemen such as these, but she doesn't tries hard not to say it rudely, implying the halfling and the half-orc who were, you know, of servant class race, and she's elevated them. Now, Tal'Dor does not necessarily have its own knightly order. It has several noble families that make knights within their family ranks, and there is an order that crosses the border all around the area, but we'll get into that later. However, she has stated openly at court that she and court itself should acknowledge them as Taladian knights, or at least respect the fact that they are cavaliers within their order and treat them as if they were human. Hmm. Also, special blessings mentioned earlier and, you know, such treats going to the cousin. Your testimony was vital as everyone else's, and in the kerfuffle that happened between Varth and Romeo calling him out, you were sort of skipped over, and she seems to go back to that now.
Your Royal Highness.
Master Vidmark, I understand that my father, during a day of exaltation, had risen your adopted family to the status of nobility, thinks quite highly of the Ulfin Vidmark family, and has adopted them as his personal royal guard. Not the entire family, but being a Vidmark now yourself, I would like to bestow that same honor upon you.
That is quite the honor. However, it pains me to say I simply cannot accept.
Oh, she says, taken aback. I don't think you understand what I'm offering, young Vidmark. By accepting this court's recognition as a knight cavalier of Taldor. You stand not only a chance to join my father's side with your family line, but to do this country that you now call your own a great service.
I do understand that. There is a problem there. The difficulty is that I am no cavalier. A knight is bound by a code of chivalry. I am bound purely by a code of honor. The Alcasti family was a family deserving of the title nobility, and that title was wrongly removed. I set out with this mission, not necessarily with the intention, but that is my intention now, that honor rightly deserves to be where honor is deserved. You should not remove honor for those that deserve said honor righteously. As such, it was my responsibility to confront a Romeo Alcasti, rather than any act of chivalry, thus deserving of knightly code. Finally, unfortunately, I do serve Lord Ulthar Vinmark. I am sworn to his service. I cannot gain nobility for my own family without their blessing, regardless of my opinion of your Royal Highness, and only by themselves can I gain said nobility. I do humbly apologize for denying such a great honor, but I must refuse.
A silence and a murmur starts amongst the nobles. How dare he? Who does he think he is? Does he not realize that the princess outranks his lord, the Vinmark lord, and that they in turn serve her father? This is an outrage. You know, they just kind of like think you're just being straight out rude. Some are like,
do I hear this?
There's this, just, you know, the usual smattering, that type of thing builds up. But before it's expected, yeah, I mean, you expect that, you know, they would not approve of your words when you'd started forming the sentences. And it begins. But before it gets too far, she raises a hand to silence it. And she says, that is unfortunate. I shall at least speak personally with my father and with your Lord Vinmark on the service you have provided with honor to Taldor. Will that satisfy you?
He bows once again right to the floor. I thank you greatly, your Royal Highness.
She nods. The man known as Hakiryu Leon Vinmark half stands, bowing backwards to a polite distance, turns, not joining his companions, and proudly, silently marches out of the room, out the open door, and leaves. The camera pulls back to a confused bunch of comrades debating whether they should go after him or leave him. The matter is decided suddenly by Lord Gildevarth fainting in Bartholomew's, you know, from exhaustion in Bartholomew's arms, and they decide to take their companion to the parlor as suggested by the princess. Dominicus Rell leaning in to speak with the princess on the matters that have just unfolded. Fafal just popping up where he pleases, ingratiating himself to the new popular group.
Hello!
Camera pulls back further, and then winds sideways around the room. A figure, dressed in courtier clothes, silently stands observing everything that has happened. Going relatively unnoticed, returns a tart to a tray, waving off a servant, politely excuses themselves from the nobility company that they were chatting and meeting and gossiping with, and follows young Leon out the door. The scene continues to follow the lone figure that is chasing Leon Vinmark through the front palisade doors and into the main courtyard. Catching up with him, a young noble woman, she says, excuse me.
What is this?
Master Vinmark.
Yes, I am Leon Vinmark.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Lady Martella Lothied, extending her hand towards you, as if she wishes you to take it, embrace it, perhaps kiss it, and let the name and the gravity of said name sink in. Of House Lothied.
What can I do for you?
First, allow me to say that it is a grand pleasure to meet a man who puts one's personal honor before his own personal gain. That said, I believe a, shall we say, discreet friendship between us would be to our mutual benefit. I wish to employ you and become your, shall we say, benefactor in the upcoming weeks. The political distance that you've just placed yourself away from the princess shall prove most beneficiary to myself and to you if you accept my offer. She hands you a small folded piece of paper. Please examine this, and if you can decipher it, meet me and others who I have enlisted under my employ in a few weeks' time at the address listed at the bottom. With a flirtatious smile, the young, tan-skinned woman, obviously of mixed heritage, turns and returns to the main court, leaving you standing alone with your thoughts. The Taladian horse and Taladian Fanix marching in circles about the courtyard, but too far distance to see young Leon Vinmark's eyes flash with a greenish-yellow, almost fox-like tinge. He scratches his chin as he muses to himself in a slightly different manner.
Intriguing. I guess that fate has decided I'm not quite finished with you yet, young Leon.
Gentlemen, you have raised yourselves honorably and with valor in the eyes of the court, and so the eyes of Taldor. Word of your deeds and overnight fame, because everybody loves the newest thing that happened in Taldor amongst the nobility, quickly spread. And in the weeks to come, before the day of high exaltation, you gentlemen not only enjoy a respite, some comfort, and some well-deserved attention, you may proudly now call yourself Sir or San before or after your name, and those that know what's good for them, that want to stay popular within the court, or at least on Lady Eutropia's side of it, will not correct you, nor whisper behind your back against it.
The scene pulls out over the open courtyard, showing the lone figure wearing the formal dress attire of one Leon Vinmark. Exit, stage left. And so ends Season 0, our prologue series of Dice Before Dishonor, as we bring Pathfinder Society Adventure Honor's Echo to a close. But I assure you, we have just begun, opened up a bunch more bonus content for Echoes of Honor.
I would like to thank our listeners for putting up with a very, very, very long season one, shall we say, or more likely what we've been calling our prologue series. And we shall now march headlong with the smattering of characters into Crownfall, Book 1 of War for the Crown.
Da, 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 da. Da, da, da. Good job, Frank.
Hey, man, you can
dude, that was crazy.
In three crit threats in one fight. Like, every time you swang, you were doing it with intent, buddy.
That was my new lucky sword.
Yeah. Can I keep this?
Can I keep that wooden bastard?
I'm gonna put this on my wall.
So after Fafal opens the door and whatnot, and that breeze from outside comes past, he stomps back over to the other side of the fair lady and whispers, "I will not be forced to remember that time. Not again. I will not relive that hell. Not until there is breath within my lungs and blood in my veins."
I think I need that line again. I think you meant to say, "as long as there is, not until there is." He's undead! As long as I'm dead. You're doing great, man, but it's just that one word flipped over in your tongue, and it was like, "until I have breath in my lungs." You've been holding your breath since, oh, Sirion? Since 4714? Wow.
No, it takes him a day for the breeze kiss thing to kick back in again.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like this little deflated dude.
We shall call him Wheezy.
Can we have that again? Well, it certainly explains why he was like suddenly going against the guy he was betting on. Very interesting, sir.
Do you want it again?
I want it again.
"As long as there is breath within my lungs and blood within my veins, I shall not remember that hell."
Hero point.
Oh, yay.
Hero point for football.